It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Oh, what's going on? Philadelphia. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Go Birds podcast. It's John Bartrick, James Seltzer.
John, I have a really important question to ask you.
Yeah.
When did you stop doing the fist pump when you do the open
well,
there?
Well, because John,
it's all right,
different.
So when he gets to the Philadelphia and he does a little fist pump there.
See, we're standing in the studio. See, I here.
Okay,
is
so
different.
It's the sitting.
I know you can't
I feel like
see
even
this.
Still, sometimes when you're sitting, you do it.
Well, my chair has wheels.
Okay.
So it's actually the fist turns into the bobsled motion.
Okay, good. So I was worried because
no, we're all good there.
I'm just going to say I've grown very accustomed to the fist.
Plus the fist pump needs, not the bump. The bump can always go wherever it needs to, but the fist pump, you know, needed a little off-season rest.
Okay,
so we'll get
that's fair. I just want you to know how much I love it and how worried I was that it was gone forever.
Hey, at least we're not talking about wee-wees in the opening. But it is the start.
You mean penises?
Penises,
okay,
yes.
Got it.
Good. There we go. Now we've got it in there. The start of rookie camp.
We're back!
Today, we will be judging your takes and your questions in the mailbag because... Not only do we want to judge your takes, but the very, and if you didn't get in, please let us know at Go Birds Pod. What is the best song to sing in the shower? Which I think I have the number one overall artist for that. But I'm excited to see at least guys in shorts, which is a weird phrase to say, but
it's a really weird phrase to say.
But you get to at least see kind of where everybody is going. J.J. Miles Sanders on return duty. That will last no more than 2 seconds because I don't really think that that's going to be a part of what they do, especially with J.J. and he's not that fast.
Definitely with J.J. Not happening. Miles, you never know.
Miles,
he's good at it. He's good at it. It's a question of whether they want to put him back there and take that risk.
We'll get into that in just a second, but Blake Countess was extended, according to Ruben Frank. We don't know exactly the numbers or the breakdown or the cap details because the Eagles haven't officially announced that yet, but so he's going to stay, which is, again, surprising to me. I don't really think I've had a Blake Countess take on the pod yet. And look, I mean, hopefully this ends up like Patrick Robinson because I didn't think Patrick Robinson could play at all during training camp. I thought it was a bad signing. I think that's been Howie's only small blemish. It's because they drafted him. He became available. I mean, the Rams couldn't afford him for $2 million, for Christ's sake. So, I don't know. I think he's going to be a great kick returner, but if anybody's expecting him to tackle anybody or cover anybody, It's probably not the greatest thing in the world.
The Countess.
The Countess.
Hating on the Countess. So here's the thing, John. I don't know if that's true because Howie told us that he doesn't have any allegiance to the guys he drafts.
Well, except most of the guys, I think, what do we got left? Nelson Agholor is the only chip guy left. So,
oh yeah, very, very quickly he made that happen.
So we'll see. That's something to kind of keep an eye on as we're going through here. But of course, everybody wants to really know what's going on with Carson at all times. Doug was asked that today. Basically snapped back at, I think it was
Diggs. It's like we're talking about rookies, right, guys? Yeah, come on.
Hey, that is not what we're doing here. I'm paraphrasing, but
I don't think you are. I think that's pretty much it. Exactly.
So,
it's like, shut the fuck up. I think actually what he said. So,
I know we chatted about this a few weeks ago because, I mean, everybody is really sticking to this Doug Peterson said 3 months and he'd be fine thing. You know, and I, like,
let me guess, John, you're not concerned.
I'm a little worried.
Ooh.
I'm a little worried.
Oh,
I'm not.
All right. This is interesting.
I think it's just in the way that they answer the question.
It never
bothers me.
Yeah, I'm with you. No,
just say he's doing fine. He's progressing well.
Just say he's doing great. He's progressing well.
Like, why are we talking about Carson?
Yeah, they're always so defensive about it.
Because now I'm like, well, why can't we ask
about Carson?
We're
talking about Carson because he's the future of the franchise.
Yeah.
That's why we're talking about Carson Wentz, because you guys keep saying we want to sign him to a long-term deal. He's going to be here forever. So guess what? He's your quarterback. We're going to want to talk about him. And first and foremost, shout out to Doug. It's amazing how much that guy has grown as a press conference head coach. I mean, we used to remember when they didn't let him speak at the end of 2016. They're like, we can't put him in front of anybody or at the end of 2016. No, Doug has gotten really good at commanding the room. So shout out to Doug. He shut that down very quickly. But you can't be you can't give back attitude when people want to talk about the franchise quarterback.
Yes.
When you say 3 months, that's your fault, Doug, that you put a timetable on it. You shouldn't have put a timetable on it. And the fact that, we're like 6 months out from potentially when it happened or longer. So I think it's only fair to have a question about it. We need to know that Carson is back, pardon the pun, and healthy. Yeah. And otherwise, I think it's fair to have concerns about it. Look, we both agree. Carson Wentz is going to be awesome this year. I think he's going to be fine. He's going to do great, all that stuff. But
if he's alive.
Right. Until he's there and healthy, yeah. I'm going to be concerned about it, period, end of story.
Yeah, and that I think it's just, honestly, it is literally the way Doug answered the question is what bothered me overall more than anything. Like, I still believe that Carson's on track to play the season week one, and there's not going to be any major setbacks.
Oh, God, if we have to do that again, will he be there week one? Should he be there week one? If we do that again,
I'm going like, wow, is Nate Sudfeld?
I'm going to
really
be so sad, John. I'll cry tears on this podcast if we have to go through this again.
and I don't really think we will. I think this is just, and here's why. I think I have this forever, and we should have this forever as a defense of Doug Peterson. Doesn't exactly know everything that he's saying that comes out of his mouth.
Truth. And they don't tell him everything it seems.
Josh Huff, that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be here tomorrow.
It's a great one.
Snap, boom, gone the next day. You know, so there is a lot of protecting the business and HIPAA laws and God knows what else. And it just kind of turns into a thing. But I do know, you have to say something, and reacting like that is never great.
Again,
people start
he could have just
it.
Said, hey, Carson's progressing. Yep.
We'll
give you an update when OTAs come around.
Yeah.
Boom.
If you see him at OTAs, you can ask him how his
back's feeling. You can ask him yourself because he's going to talk at OTA. Yes, exactly.
Something.
But instead of just being like, no, yes. Not going
to
talk about
it. So the Carson Wentz worried meter has now traveled to a little concerned for me. And I think
I'm a little concerned too. I agree with you. I'm not super concerned. I'm not very concerned. I'm not incredibly concerned. I'm not even just concerned. I'm a little concerned. I think that's a good way to put it.
I think now would be a good time to, we're going to travel into the future. You
ready?
Ooh,
buddy.
We're going to travel into the future.
The DeLorean in the studio with us.
Yeah, we don't exactly know what's going on, but do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And we made it. We've traveled into the future. Thank goodness. Just a couple of hours later, we find the one and the only Mr. Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot, what's going on, man?
It's always a good day when I can wake up and live tweet Eagles practice. So nothing to complain about on this end over here.
Yeah, it's not rookie camp, but, OTAs and training camp for you too. Got to get the fingers ready, which is important.
Exactly right.
I guess there's, so we had a debate really on who looked best in shorts on the twitter.com. Who looked best in shorts today?
I mean, Miles Sanders, the man just pulls off the 26. The helmet, he had the visor going, the leg sleeves. I mean, I don't know if he can play or not, but he certainly looks the part of a franchise running back.
Well, that's, I mean, I was a little perturbed that he didn't let the calves show, but that's okay. Like, you know,
for day one. The leggings leg sleeves were the move. That was the move, yeah.
What was, and we'll get, I know there's probably not a lot to take away from because they were just doing drills and you guys were only out there for 20 minutes and stuff, but we had talked about it with Doug. I mean, like, my meter for Carson Wentz coming back and not, I wasn't too worried about it. And you know, whatever, Doug has got the dead set on the 3 months and everybody kind of jumps on that or whatever. But I don't understand the reaction to asking about Carson Wentz, and the reaction to asking about Carson Wentz actually made me a little nervous. Like, what's your impression of why they're not like really saying much about Carson?
So I think that, there's a couple reasons. First would be that the 3 month comment, I was there when Doug said it. And if I remember correctly, like, it was kind of more of like an off the cuff type of comment. It wasn't really like the doctors have told me straight up 3 months. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I think that along with some other things last year with the torn ACL has really made the Eagles franchise afraid, might not be the perfect word, but basically not as willing to give out information about medical, because you say 3 months for Carson's back, and then if it's not 3 months, everyone's like, this is going terribly. You say Carson will be back by week one, week three, everyone thinks he has a step back. So, fair or not, I think they've basically just decided we're not giving updates. So, for Doug today, when he was asked about Carson, I think the rookie minicamp was a good excuse for him to be able to shy away from that.
Yeah,
now,
makes
the issue
sense.
Is, the whole, yeah, I mean, the issue with that, though, is, like, just say Carson's going to be ready or he's not. I mean, and if you genuinely don't know if he's going to be ready, then that's almost the same as him not being ready. Because if it's still, I mean, whatever, forget the three months thing. We all think he injured his back in October. October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. I mean, you're at like 7 or 8 months, depending on how you look at it. So if Carson's not out there next week, I think it'll be concerning. That being said, I do think he'll be out there. Last year when he tore his ACL, I went back and looked, and for a May 29th practice, so a little later, but obviously way worse of an injury, he was out there doing two-on-twos, in pads, doing the individual work. So I'd personally be surprised if he wasn't out there to some capacity.
And I know you, he had mentioned this too, and this is kind of where I'm glad we talked about it on draft day, but it sounds like they are going to make Jordan Mailata cross over and play a little guard. Is that your impression too?
I wouldn't say that was my like complete impression. I mean, they like to cross train a lot of people. They've cross trained Matt Pryor. They cross trained Sayamalu. I do think that if they hadn't drafted Dillard, maybe they would focus more on trying to make sure Mailata can play left tackle. But now that you know he's not going to be playing left tackle, I think you can then focus on him maybe learning right tackle, guard, that type of thing. I bet in training camp we'll see him line up at guard somewhat, but it also wouldn't surprise me if we just saw him line up at, you know, backup right tackle or third string left tackle or something like that.
So when is media availability again? It's just OTAs, right? And then we'll have to see what happens then. So
so I think it's about a week and a half from now. I think it's a Tuesday. We get to see the first day. Unfortunately, I won't be there because I'll be in Ireland. But
no big deal. Strapping that
no
in there.
Yeah, no big deal to me, right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I won't be there, but it's certainly going to be interesting to see what Carson does.
Now, I saw that you were talking to Joe Ostman, and, you know, was there a big scrum around that, since obviously Howie gave him praise on the morning show? And they're just like, hey, we can talk to you about this stuff. What did they tell him, by the way?
Probably the biggest scrum Joe Ostman's ever had. I don't know if I would call it a big scrum compared to what Miles Sanders and Arcega Whiteside got. But, look, I mean, Joe said that they wanted him to put on weight. He said he's 10 pounds heavier than he was last year. I wish that I could just put on 10 pounds, you know, still feel good about myself. So, but Joe seemed pretty proud of the fact that he put on 10 pounds because he was undersized. He said that, you know, he's heard what Howie said about him. It makes him feel good to know that they think highly of him. He acknowledged that the fact that with Bennett and Chris Long gone, he knows he has a chance to really come in and get some real playing time here. So we'll see what happens. I'm still skeptical. I mean, he's pretty undersized for his position. Adding on the weight or not, he's very undersized. You look at guys like Josh Sweat, Sharif Miller. He's not as stout as Brandon Graham. They're maybe height-wise similar, but Joe Austin looks pretty undersized still to me.
Yeah, that I always thought that was going to be a kind of a long-term deal with him and trying to get established there. I mean, he's still a great pass rusher just with a couple of moves that he does have, but I just never saw how that was going to translate to the NFL. So
yeah, I mean, unless he's going to grow all of a sudden. Who knows, though? Maybe. I mean, the Eagles seem very high on him. So.
So that's another name to keep an eye on as well. And we're just about to get into judging the number changes and the rookie selections of said numbers. Did anybody have any of those takes today, by the way? Any of the rookie class talk about their number?
So, yes, somebody did, but I actually have a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside observation for you.
Okay, practice. All right, fair enough.
Was not blown away by him athletically in the first practice. Like, a lot of times when these draft picks come in and you hear, okay, well, they drafted him because he's big or he's fast or whatever, they, like, immediately stand out when you look. That was not the case with J.J. He kind of, to me, looked like a less athletic Dallas Goedert is what I thought he came across as to me. Like, not super fast, had long arms, but again, just shorts, just 20 minutes. But my initial impression of him was not, this is Alshon 2.0 in terms of his size.
Were most of those judged on the punt return drills, out of curiosity?
I didn't see him return the
punt. Oh, okay.
So I'm just talking about looking at him and the other receivers that were around him. He didn't, like, an example would be when Dorial Green Beckham came. And again, this has to do with Dorial Green Beckham sucks, right? So maybe this is the perfect proof that my observation of this means absolutely nothing. But when Dorial Green Beckham came in, it was clear right away, okay, this is a big receiver. He's more athletically gifted than everyone else on the roster at that point. When you consider the fact that J.J. was out there with a lot of undrafted guys, with guys that aren't going to play a role, the fact that he didn't really stand out to me was just noteworthy. So,
all right.
I know you like J.J., so me
JJ's
telling you
a
that
bust.
Gave me some joy. Yeah, he's a bust, basically, yeah. And I don't think 19 is a good number for him. So there's that, though.
Well, there you go. I guess we'll debate that too in just a moment. But LA, we appreciate it, man. And I guess we will we'll wait and see what happens when you're in Ireland. That means I think I'm going to go down there. Then I'm going to be you. That's frightening.
There you go. You can't have my Twitter account, but you can certainly
work
tweet,
on the tweets. That'll be
man. It does hurt me deep inside. You know, I'm not going to be there the first day we find out what happens with Carson. But I'll have to sneak out a way to find my phone.
I'll periscope it for you. There you go.
Perfect.
Watch from Ireland there. All right, buddy. We will travel back into the past, and we appreciate your time, bud.
All right. Talk to you next Monday.
Diddle-do-do-do-do-do-do. Wow. We just transported back.
So,
that was pretty awesome that he said that I am the prettiest man on the podcast.
Yeah. He also said that I'm the smartest person he's ever met.
Yeah.
And that I too am beautiful.
And then, he went on to say, I don't even really know why I got hired here, and I... He shouldn't even be here.
He said, I'm a man of bad takes.
Yeah, I'm a man of
that
bad
takes.
That audio
is actually true. That he actually said that. That's something he said.
Oh, man, I got to go find that.
Yes,
now.
You got to put that in there.
All right, before we get to the mailbag, we do want to have a little fun with the rookies and the jersey numbers.
Yes.
Now, I have a major concern right off the bat.
Oh, no.
I have a major concern right off the bat.
Oh, no.
Now, you might remember, I got really excited 2 years ago, or a year ago, I guess, when Josh Sweat was picked in the fourth round. I said, wow, that's amazing. That might be the steal of the draft right there.
Sweat. Little did we know, Avante Maddox actually was the steal of the draft in the fourth round.
Exactly. So here's my problem. Had to change his number because Vinny Curry's here.
Mm-hmm.
94? He got 94? Josh Sweat's number is now 94. That's disgusting.
Okay.
That is gross. That is an outside linebacker number, and he's not an outside linebacker.
I don't hate it as much as you do. Having said that,
94s.
I was just about to say I can't think of a single 94 who was famous. I can't think of one. Not one. I'm sure there has been one, like a D-tackle maybe. It feels more like a D-tackle number than a DN number. Regardless, I don't hate it as much as you do. I'm okay with 94. I'm okay with it.
Oh, man. Of course, Sports Illustrated starts in the 50s from 50 to 99. I mean, come on. As we're scrolling down.
Scrolling,
94.
He's scrolling.
That means?
Some San Francisco 49er.
Oh, linebacker.
No, it's a defensive tackle. Dana Hubblefield was a defensive tackle. Stubblefield, excuse me.
Yeah.
was a Dana Stubblefield was a defensive tackle.
DeMarcus Ware.
What'd I say? Guess. Defensive right. tackle. Oh, DeMarcus Ware. That's an outside linebacker. All right, there so we're both right. You know what it is? A defensive end. John Abram end. Was a, like a 3-4 outside linebacker. So.
Chad okay. Brown. Joe Johnson, New Orleans. I forgot about him. All right, I'm just not picking on 94.
It's okay. I don't hate as much as you do, but I don't love it.
Blake Countess, 39. Yeah, it's a special teams number.
That is not a good number, my friend. And I like the number 39 because there are 39 days in Survivor, so yeah. I like 39 generally.
Yeah.
Not good for a football player.
Zach Brown.
Not good, John.
Zach Brown, 51's a strong linebacker.
I'm fine with 51.
That's
solid.
Good.
You see 51, you think that guy's going to tackle me.
Here's this is just this is other this is bad
are you going
news.
To the top of the list here because
yeah,
this
really,
is of this is all these news. Like Josh Sweat 94 whatever this is the worst number choice thing at, like what are we doing?
I'm normally
what are we doing?
I normally am against the 80s unless you're Mac Hollins and you got a fucking weird 16.
Just like if anything there maybe 81. Have been some quarterbacks who have been number 16 and it worked out. What a horrendous number. For a wide receiver, 16?
My goodness. Now I know it's kind of out of their control, but...
No, Matt Collins is gone. I'm sorry. That's the end of the Matt Collins era in Philly. That's how I feel right now. I mean, 16?
Yeah,
16?
So, that fourth and
people
fifth
are
round.
Listening to this being like, who cares? Oh God, why are you even talking
because
about this?
Because it's May 10th, everybody. It's May 10th. That's
because
why.
It matters. Think about it. Think about it. How many great number 16s have you seen in the history of football?
Yeah, not many. Should we go? We'll go last round pick to first round pick.
Okay, like that.
Clayton Thorson, number 8.
Okay,
I like that.
Me
number.
Too.
I don't
and
know
Elliot Shore Parks was like, "That's trash."
Oh, it's trash. What? Yeah, Steve Young.
I was just
Hello?
About to say Steve Young was number 8.
Our very own Tommy McDonald, he's a Hall of Famer too.
I just
more
don't
number
get-
8.
I just don't get why.
It's a good quarterback
It's
number.
A good quarterback number. Any single-digit number for a quarterback, for the most part, like number 1 would be weird or whatever, but like for the most part.
Shout out to Warren Moon.
I'm cool with a single-digit number if you're a quarterback. Like 8's fine.
Sharif Miller, 76. That
Ooh,
says,
for a defensive lineman.
You know what that says? I'm getting cut.
Well, I don't think
I'm
going
to be on the practice squad.
Yeah, I think I think there's a chance that he gets a different number by the time the season starts. I think he'll make the roster. He's a fourth round pick. I think if nothing else, as we just talked about, I don't care what he says, how he likes his picks.
Yeah.
We saw Donnell Pumphrey make the roster or almost make the roster. Took everything in the world for him. Or the phantom injury to not make the roster. We saw them carry Shelton Gibson's corpse for a couple of years here. I mean, we've seen if Allie drafts a guy in the fourth round, like they might be inactive every week, Josh Sweat, but they're going to make the roster. I genuinely believe that.
JJ gets 19. I think that's a solid number.
I think that's fine. Look, they're clearly, this team wants their receivers for the most part to be those... 15, you know, 10 for Deshaun, like those types of numbers. It doesn't seem like they're a big wide receivers in the 80s type of team. So I think 19 is a solid number.
Miles Sanders, 26.
That is easily the best number. I mean, 26 running back. Yes. Yes.
I got the hottest take of all. I think 26 sucks
what?
For a running back.
Why? Why?
Everybody goes Saquon Barkley. I go, yeah, great. Fantastic. But who else wears 26?
I don't know. It feels like a running back number. I'll bet you there are other running backs number 26.
I just don't understand why you can't move it to a 5 and stop giving allegiance to guys that aren't here anymore. What's wrong with 25? Why can't you give away Shady's number?
Well, because it's going to get retired someday.
Ugh. Disgusting.
What do you mean, ugh?
Why should...
He's
I mean,
the greatest
I don't wanna...
running back in the history of the franchise. Look, I'm not a Shady fan as a person. We've talked about this a lot. The tipping, the spoiling end game for everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, like, he just doesn't seem like the best guy, but he's the best running back in the history of the franchise. You're not going to retire that number? That's very petty if you're doing it for off the... if it comes
Why
out that...
can't you retire it in, like, 5 years? Like, if he's not playing right now, just give it
right,
to somebody.
But, then you have, but what if you give it to Miles Sanders and Miles Sanders becomes a superstar and he's here for a decade, then he can't retire the number for a decade.
Well, don't retire the number.
And then it's like, oh, well, we'll retire for him, but not for Miles Sanders, who was a superstar. Whatever.
Well, you're going to retire 26 if Sanders breaks McCoy's record? Like, you just
well,
go on and on and on
It's not
and on?
Shady's number.
I know, but I'm saying, I'm just saying 25's dead, and then if Sanders has like an incredible career.
In 25, that's my point.
Then 26 is gone now too, and 25 and 26, no Eagle can wear
again.
Hey,
that's the way it works, man. like, that's the whole point of retiring numbers, because they can't be worn again by anybody else. Why is this so confusing?
Because, like, I don't like that people can't choose their numbers if they're coming into the league. That's ridiculous.
It's not. That's the point of retired numbers.
I just don't get it.
You don't get retiring numbers?
This is along the lines of the statues thing.
Yeah, really, how do you not get retiring numbers? It's like every organization in sports does that. I mean, what are we talking about here? The NBA does it. Major League Baseball does it. Like, why is this a weird thing?
Was he ever retired?
He's not as good as Shady.
I know, but there was a long gap when he was the franchise running back, and then
he wasn't.
Somebody else came along in 2009.
Shady was great. Like him or hate him, Shady was great. Shady was a great running back for this organization.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
No, probably not, but that doesn't mean... Look, Donovan's not a Hall of Famer, and his number's retired. I mean, Brian Westbrook will get his number retired. He's not a Hall of Famer.
I don't know. It makes me feel weird. All right. There's all these...
Disagree.
Yeah.
Strong disagree.
You got to be like incredibly special.
I generally go that way. Like that is my like, but we're talking about the best running back in the history of the franchise. No question about it.
But that's always an ongoing thing.
Yeah, but Shady did enough to have his number.
Like if you look at Shady's numbers and go, no one's ever going to touch that, then I'm with you. But like there's a chance that Shady doesn't.
I mean, but then what is it when you wait forever until no one touches it in 30 years and say, now we're retiring Shady's number? That'd
be
stupid.
No, because it should be instant. That's what I'm saying. Like there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Well, Shady was amazing here. What are we talking about?
I don't know. I think there's some didn't somebody like wasn't there a large group of Eagles Twitter that got into a fight about this? I honestly it doesn't really matter to me in the long run because it's an off-season thing, but
yeah, I would retire his number.
All right.
And I, in general, am supportive of retiring numbers, which it seems like you're not.
I don't know. I just think it's like...
Hate statues, hates retired numbers. Let's start the list.
I take that back. I don't hate retired numbers. It just has to be like a no doubt about it.
Well, I generally...
I don't know if
like,
Shady's a no doubt about it.
I like in baseball, I feel that way because the vast majority of numbers in baseball are Hall of Fame players. That's just the standard that's been set.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't do that. I mean, again, there are Eagles players who are not Hall of Famers. Jeremiah Trotter. I mean, guys who have their number. Is his number retired? Actually, I'm not sure. But regardless, the point is like there are Eagles who are not Hall of Famers who have had their numbers retired. So I think that, you know, you look up Eagles retired numbers. That's an interesting.
Yeah, because McNabb,
McNabb is not a Hall of Famer.
Dawkins, that's a no doubter.
Of Famer, obviously.
Steve Van Buren, no doubter. Tom Brookshire, no doubter.
All right, so
Pete
when Red you look Sloth, at the
no
numbers,
doubter. Chuck Van Eric, no doubter. Reggie White, no doubter. Jerome Brown,
no doubter.
Yeah, like I just don't. It's weird that Shady belongs in that list.
When you look at that list, yeah, you're right. I thought they had more numbers retired, so there's a little bit of an argument there. I would probably still retire his number, but there is a better argument when you look at the few that have. There are less than I thought had. I'm thinking of the Wall of Fame where they've got like a trillion guys on there. I still think it should be retired. He's the best in the history of the franchise, and he was great, but I could be swayed a little bit more after looking at the list.
Finally, I know that we spent a lot of time on Miles Sanders' number there, but rightfully so. It was a good discussion. Andre Dillard.
It mostly was not about Miles Sanders' number.
Yeah,
so,
at all. At all. By the way, Miles Sanders today with the leggings.
Yeah, not a fan. Man up, bro.
That's what linemen do.
Yep, you're a running back.
Come on, man.
It's like 80 degrees out right now. What are we doing?
Even Thorson had his legs uncovered. And
that's
guess what?
Thorson's a...
They're disgusting calves, but he still had them out
there. And this is coming from someone who has amazing calves. I mean, John Barchard is the king of calves.
That's true.
They're gigantic calves.
That's the only good
thing
about my
Tommy
body.
My buddy Tommy was in the studio the other day, and to check out the studio and all that, and this is really funny, actually. So he said, I really like John Barchard, but I didn't say hi to him when he came into the studio.
Oh,
because
I
was so shocked by how big his calves were. That I was stopped in my tracks and I couldn't even say hi. True story, I swear on my life.
Like, you know, wow, those are nice calves, or like wow, those are big calves.
No, like in like, oh my God, those calves are amazing. Like he was obsessed with your calves. So there you go.
Take that, Dwayne Johnson. anyway, Andre Dillard gets...
Who doesn't love a good calves conversation?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Doug Peterson's still the best calves.
Doug's got good calves.
Yeah, yeah. He had them out
Great
today.
Calves. He had him out today. He was flashing the calves today.
Andre Dillard, number 77.
Terrific. That's a home run. I mean, that is the best of all. I mean, that is just a win right there.
Yeah. See, all right, I'm going to get back to it because, like, Jason Peters is a no-doubter, right?
Yeah.
And like, I think Jason Peters deserves his number retired more than Shady.
Well, yeah, Jason Peters is a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's just fair. I agree. I would put Jason Peters over Shady, no question.
So let's get into the mail take bag once again, because this is, I tell you, this is one of my new favorite things, to have a take or have a question.
John, I'll go a step further. It is my favorite new thing.
Yeah, so that? Let's get a Shitstoke says, as always. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for chiming in, as always. It's a hot take. He warns us. Mills is absolutely as bad as people say, and he's already hit a ceiling. He's not only good on, he's only good when the D-line gets pressure. He's also too small for box safety and too slow for a free safety, so converting him to safety won't work. However, too small, I mean, Maddox is 5'9".
Yeah, well, he's definitely
Mills
not too
is six.
Small.
He's not too small. Too slow,
it's
maybe.
Just, yeah, it's just a shame that Elliot isn't here to respond to this.
I know.
There's one person on this pod who would really...
Two persons on this pod that said, what do you mean Mills is absolutely bad?
Like, well, No. I agree. I don't agree with shit Soak says, but I'm saying there's one person on this pod who thinks that he's the best cornerback on the team.
Yeah. Which worries me.
Yeah, because he's
I thought he was the best corner on the team until maybe...
Avonte Maddox is the best corner on this team.
I don't know if... I still don't think that they're going to move him outside. I don't. I think they're going to give it... Sydney, obviously, and Rasul and everybody else a chance to, and Darby.
I love Sydney.
Of course I do. Like, I've always, I know. You can't not love Sydney Jones.
Well, he can.
If you base it just on his college
True. Well said, John.
Brandon Allen checking in. Oh, and we also asked, you know, along with the favorite songs, Laid by James.
What?
Is the name of the song. You know, favorite song, Laid by James.
Wow. So I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. Is that a real song or is that a statement about me?
It looks like an 80s version. Don't tell anybody that we're playing this, by the way.
We'll get in trouble.
We'll try and figure it out. But like Laid by James, this looks like it's an 80s song.
This is weird. The video is weird.
Oh, wait. We know this song.
We do. I can't hear it.
She said you're like a
That's a good tune. All right, don't tell anybody we played that.
You think you're so I obviously don't know the words, but I know the song. It's a great song.
That's a good
one. Singing the shower song. If I knew the words, I could hum it.
Brand saying not my favorite song to sing, but
Brand Stark?
Brandon.
I thought you said Brand.
At B_Allen91.
Brand Stark was checking in. telling us the past and the future.
Not my favorite song to sing, but the last one was Into Your Arms by Journey. Unfortunately, Steve Perry doesn't sing that at all. That's a good instrumental, right?
And also just in general with Journey, like, can we be real? None of us can sing like Steve Perry. Let's not try.
No.
Let's not try.
The wheel in the sky. Sorry.
Yeah,
Outside of Dillard, who would have you taken at 22 or 25, assuming you didn't trade up? I was wondering. I can't even remember how the board felt.
Hollywood Brown went at 25, and I said I would have been happy with him. Montez Sweat went at 26.
Yeah, I think Montez Sweat.
I'd take Montez Sweat. I know great things haven't come out about how coachable he is and all that, but I would at 25, I would take the shot on that talent, personally.
Also says, my take is the opposite of what our ESP says. That's fair.
It's a good take. It's a good take, then.
I don't see Foles playing well in Jacksonville, and Deshaun will have a huge impact for us. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Deshaun will definitely have a huge impact, but where are you at this? I think Foles is going to be good. I think that Nick Foles, look, he doesn't have nearly the talent around him. He's not going to be as good, I don't think, but I think that Nick Foles kind of crossed a line with his play where he gets it. He gets how to play quarterback in the NFL. He gets what he needs to do. And obviously you need a system that works for him and players that will help him. But I think Nick Foles isn't going to be, I think at worst case, he's not going to be bad in Jacksonville, personally.
And I don't, like, there are a lot of people that don't want him to be bad as Eagles fans, right?
Yes. I mean, you don't want to see Nick suck, I think, right?
I
love the guy. Love the guy.
I don't think it will necessarily be Nick's fault. But this organization's very... at a very weird point right now. I mean, you know, Telvin Smith is now stepping away.
I wonder what that's about. That doesn't look great.
Somebody texted me and said, it's not great.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on
there. I mean,
there,
look, to step away for a year, that's I mean, he was their leading tackler.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something.
And you know, who knows, because it's
not
sports,
a lot of support. I mean, he does have a great head coach down there to help him out, so.
It's fantastic. One of the best in the business. But that's always, is there something that you remember that you were told numerous times and just being like, man, this team's going to be a disaster? You know, that it wasn't like really public information, but there were whispers going around. Like, Jacksonville reminds me of that. I'd be like, well, oh, this team fucking
It felt
sucks.
Like a disaster last year, at the end of last year, with Jalen Ramsey talking out about getting traded, Leonard Fournette coming out and ripping the team and all that stuff. Those guys are all still there. Like, none of that changed. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, Nick is one of the great leaders of our time, so maybe he can go down there and pull them all together and, you know, make everyone love everyone, all that. But I'm with you. It seems a little toxic down there.
You know what? It's the offseason. Fuck it.
I love that.
In 2017, when the Eagles were going to start their first playoff game, if we told you the stories that we heard about infighting going on there between personnel, like, you would have looked and gone, like, well, there's no fucking way they're going to win Super Bowl. Like, all the questions that might have been asked about Nick Foles and whether this is just like, hey, man, are you there or what's the deal type of questions that I think were happening around there, or just like the rumorvilles of that happening. There is no, like, I got to emphasize this. There's no fucking way the Eagles should have won the Super Bowl. No way. And they did. Like, it's always amazing to me that you hear all these different things. And that's why, like, when we talk about chemistry in football, it's just bullshit.
Oh,
like,
I disagree with that.
Oh, but most of it is just
just because they might not
this
have
guy sucks, this no, guy did it, but if everybody shows up and does their job,
different thing.
Doesn't matter.
No, totally different thing. I mean, we're talking about whether Nick Foles could play good or not. That team had something special. Like, that team had a real a cause that they were fighting for together, a nobody believes in us type of thing, which
helped. I'm not disagreeing.
I think
that
was incredibly powerful, and I think that they all like.
But that didn't help until they got really into the playoffs.
I don't know. Yeah. I think you're underrating the chemistry part. I think to say that Nick Foles with his performances shocked some people in the building, I think would be a fair thing to say. I wouldn't take anything away from how important chemistry was.
Shane checking in. His take, Josh Adams won't make the 53-man roster.
I think that's a pretty lukewarm take.
Very, very strong, lukewarm take. Howard Sanders, Clement, Smallwood / Scott will be RB number 4.
Yeah, not Scott. Smallwood. We've talked about that.
Did you know that Fly 64 is from Australia, by the way?
No.
Melbourne. What's up? I didn't know that. Melbourne. I didn't know if he was joking or not, but he just said, I'm from Melbourne.
Good for
him. I think that's how they say it over there. Anyway, appreciate you listening as always, Pat.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Question, how concerning is the Eagles' interior line situation? Well, I bet you...
We're talking offensive line, because not at all defensive line. Yeah, one of the strengths of the team, actually. But yeah,
it's
concerning.
I probably already talked about it with Elliot, but I'm just going to do it again, just to do one of these, because fresh hours after the draft, everybody's going, well, what are you going to do with Jordan Mailata? And there was one lone voice that said, move him to fucking guard. And guess what? They're going to probably cross-train him at guard now.
Well, they talked about it. Yeah, Doug said that.
Which means they're going to, and they should. And they mentioned right tackle and all of those things. Backup, right tackle, guard. Like, put that. I'm going to say it now. Now they're just do it. Just put him at guard. Let him back up Brooks or just let him fight
tall
it out with.
For a guard.
He is tall.
And he's not fat.
He's not fat.
Yeah. He's not your prototypical guard.
But rugby bones and muscle. I still want you to, you know, do as much as you can.
Look, I think, but like, you've got.
If you want now, I'd put him at guard and keep
obviously,
continuing to learn
to
tackle.
Yeah, for sure. I think if. Look, I can't think he can't hurt to see if he could do it.
Yeah.
Because you seemingly, hopefully, have your next two tackles for the next decade or 6 years, 7 years, whatever it is. So, you know, if that's the case. Then, yeah, see if he could be guard.
The best thing that I think he could do right now this year is make him tight end 3 on those double tackle situations.
As like, I got you. As
like where
blocker.
He's either going to line up, you know, next to Peters or Dillard or somebody like that, or on the right-hand side, and just, like, get him into space and let him smoke some dudes. That's all we want to see. You know, forget how it will impact the football strategy. I just want him to knock over some linebackers.
But in general, I think if you're looking at a spot on the offense that you have concern about, it is that interior line. You don't worry about Kelsey, obviously, but we don't know. I mean, Isaac Samalo looked better last year as it went on. fine. We have no idea when Brandon Brooks will be back, if he'll be back to the same guy before. And if it's not Brandon Brooks, who is it, John? Is it Matt Pryor? Is Matt Pryor the next guy in a guard? And you let Wiz walk? Like, yes. To answer the question, I do have some concerns about the interior of the offensive line. It is probably the number one concern on the football team for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. There's not like, you know, hopefully Matt Pryor does show us something, because that would I think that would make everybody kind of feel pretty good. Michael Clay with the last one, and it's not an Eagles take. By the time that Ben and Embiid are mature enough to win championships, Embiid won't be able to play because his body is deteriorating.
I think it's a fair take.
Sixers,
I think it's a possibility.
Win a championship with these players. It's Raining Men is clearly the best shower song.
It's
Raining Men.
That's a hard song to sing.
Hallelujah.
Wow, where people are picking really.
You don't have to be on.
My
point.
Ones are going to be way easier song to sing. That's the real key. But I think if you told me that that was how it played out, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I obviously hope he's wrong as a Sixers fan. And if Joel can somehow stay healthy, I do think that he is the type of guy who could be the best player on a championship team, obviously. But yeah, I mean, like, if I had to bet my life, will this group win a championship together? I'd probably bet no.
Yeah, I mean, just because of the
it's really hard to win in the NBA.
Here's my problem with it.
And you got Giannis coming up against
this whole mature take is such bullshit. It is such, I don't know what else is wrong, so
what do you mean?
Point to maturity.
Oh, I think that's a fair thing. I mean, the history of the NBA says that young guys this age, it's really hard to get to
finals. Well, yeah, for now, but forever, it's just like...
Well, not yet. You hope they do have to mature, though. You don't think they need to mature? I mean, Ben Simmons doesn't do the most important thing in the game.
That's not maturity.
No, it is. It's growing. He's 22 years old. Like, it's saying, all right, I'm getting older. I need to be a better player, and the only way I could do that is to learn to shoot more.
It has nothing to do with maturity.
I think it has something to do with it. And also, I think the way they act after games, like the laughing after the Nets thing, which I didn't have a huge problem with, but that stuff is all maturity. It's understanding the situation, understanding who you are. I think Embiid's learning. I think the way he reacted in game 6,
of course,
he wasn't being, you know, the flying around the court.
Yeah.
It's fun in the moment, but at the same time, I think that as you mature, you learn what's smart, what's not, and I think they still have to learn
that.
That's more
experience than it
is
maturity.
What else is it's the same thing. Getting more experience is the same thing as maturing. What
all
else
I know
be?
Is Spike yells at me for doing stuff, and I still do it. You know, like, that's, I'm 36 to 20. Everybody goes through this. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's just
disagree.
Like, you're always gonna, I don't know, whatever.
Enough Sixers talk.
I think
it's
that's
an Eagles
overrated.
Podcast, John.
Give me your songs, and then we'll wrap this joint
okay.
up.
Okay, so I mean, I have a million, but I'll go with like a genre or type. Well, I have two. One, Buddy Holly is a great, great artist to sing in the shower.
Oh, Buddy Holly, yeah.
Yeah, Buddy Holly sounds like
a Weezer.
Every
Buddy Holly.
Day, yeah. It's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster.
Just a reminder, James
like
is also 67 years old.
Surely comes my hey
sure
way.
Sure, he's got a Fender Stratocaster somewhere, too.
Buddy Holly, criminally underrated. One of the all-time.
He's awesome. He's
amazing. We would not have rock and roll today the way it is without Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
First person to have two guitars, a drummer, and bass player in a band, all that type of stuff. Anyway, also just in general... Motown. Motown is a
lot of hits.
Great, great shower type of set. Type
I
of
know
thing.
You want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one. But it's scientific proof, y'all. Seal, any song. Best,
no, God,
best,
it's way too hard.
No, it's not. No, it's,
oh
my
God.
You can be in any octave. It's not about nailing.
Oh, my God. If I tried to sing Kiss of a Rose, it would be the worst thing that anyone has ever heard, because that song is impossible to sing, and Seal is a fucking musical genius. Like, are you... Oh, my God. Like, I try and sing along with him, and I'll sing along with anything and not care. I stop singing along with Kiss of a Rose because it's too fucking hard. Like, nope. I'm like, no, I can't do that, bro.
I think it makes you sound beautiful, especially if you've got like the perfect.
All right, give me a little kiss
shower.
From Rose here.
That's not my range.
It's nobody's range,
and I'm not in my shower, so that's the difference.
It's
here.
A fair point there, my friend.
That said, hope you enjoyed the podcast. As always, you can go to GoBirds Pod on Spotify, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, radio.com. Leave some friendly words. Leave 5 stars and. We got
only
come up
5 stars.
Only 5 stars.
Yeah, nothing else.
And we will. I think we got to do something. Like,
I think we got to start.
Since Elliot's relatively newish, still here, like, we got to make him read a whole bunch.
Oh, I love it. Let's steal that gag. I love it. So if you put in a review, because then we'll make Elliot read on the podcast.
Yeah, I think that's fun. Elliot has to read every review for the rest of the season.
I think that's a good deal. Great idea.
Yeah, okay, done and done. Yes.
I was going to say a final thought.
Yes, it's what we're, yes,
okay,
go for it.
Because I have a final thought, and even though she will never listen to this, because she just doesn't listen, shout out to Emily Seltzer, my wife, for her first Mother's Day as a mom.
Hey.
And shout out to all the mothers out there. Obviously, we all wouldn't be here without you. You're all amazing. And after having a five-month-old baby now, single mothers are literal heroes. Like, I don't know how you could possibly do this without two people. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. You're all heroes, like true, true heroes. And to all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day and thank you.
Single moms, oh my God.
Heroes, like straight heroes.
Oh my God. Can't even, single dads, oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, just anyone doing it without help.
I know, it's Mother's Day, but seriously.
It's just really hard.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Holy shit. That said, my mom also will not listen to this podcast. So fuck you, Mom. Fuck you, Mom. Fuck you. This has been the Go Birds podcast. It's radio.com, sports radio, 94 WIP.
Go Birds!